Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a very fascinating lady who is going to be our guest today, Jean Shinoda Bolan. She is a physician. She has written a book. Actually, this is its 10th anniversary. It's the revised edition, Close to the Bone, Life-Threatening Illness as a Soul Journey. Jean, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again.
Well, it's really wonderful. I enjoyed so much your book, Crohn's Don't Whine. That is one of my favorites in my library. And that really gave me an education about the word Crohn. But we're shifting to an entirely different level with this book here, Close to the Bone. This is the 10th anniversary of this, and obviously people have found this book to be very heartwarming, very inspiring. It touches the spiritual as well as the mental and the physical aspects of dealing with illness, and you come from some very interesting perspectives. Now, right at the beginning of the book, you have the symbol of the lotus. And you said, the lotus is a symbol of soul development because it rises through and above muddy waters to bloom, inspiring the Eastern saying, out of the mud grows the lotus. And it's the appropriate symbol for the soul journey taken by people who are plunged into the depths by a diagnosis that then becomes a turning point for spiritual and physical healing. Jean, you have worked as a psychiatrist for a good many years. How did this journey begin for you? Because you have been trained in the Western medical system. What made you shift your thinking so that you really wanted to get more to the bare bones of what was happening with people?
I gave a talk about 15 years more than likely, in which I talked about how when you have a life-threatening illness, it plunges you into your own metaphoric underworld, and how it really affected the soul, and it was a soul journey, because, you know, basically, whatever comes along in life is a mixture of joy and suffering and pain. And how we deal with what we have to deal with changes us, deepens us, or makes us bitter, or makes us take advantage of others because we feel we're entitled. So it really takes coming up against something hard to have a soul make a choice as to whether it will grow deeper and more compassionate and wiser or not. And so what I was doing when I first introduced it as an idea was using a famous Greek myth that most people are familiar with that really is how it feels when you get a diagnosis that seems out of the blue. You know, you've been having a good day or an ordinary day and your lab results come back and all of a sudden, you get it, that there's something going on in your own body that could kill you. Or maybe it is that you have a lump in your breast. Or maybe it is that you have a sudden pain in your chest. Or you pass out or you start bleeding. And everything was fine up until that crisis. And it took you into the realm of fear and took you on the journey that would shape your soul, as well as have a great deal to do with your recovery from whatever physical ailment this is. And that's a story of Persephone, who was abducted into the underworld. And it is how it feels. Persephone is just gathering flowers in the meadow. She doesn't have anything more serious to do but to make a choice of which ones. And then the earth opens up in front of her, and out of this dark, deep hole in the mist, Hades, comes to abduct her into the underworld realm. So one minute, you're above the ground, the sun is shining, the next moment, you're plunged into the darkness of not knowing and fearing. And this is really how so many people feel, but people don't talk about it that way. And just to have your own story reflected back to you in a deep mist means a great deal to people. In fact, it was that that led Jan Adrian, who had cancer herself and was in recovery from it, and she by now had several bouts, actually, and several recoveries, but she was in the audience and realized that no one had talked like that about her journey. And it brought tears to her eyes, and she decided that she would ask me if I would speak, if she would put together a conference for cancer survivors. And I said I would, and so she started doing that well over a decade ago, about 14, 15 years ago. And I was touched by how looking at this experience as a soul journey affected the audience, because I haven't had cancer, and here I am talking to an audience in which almost everybody in it has gone through some procedure, mostly often surgery at that point. I saw a lot of women who had semi-bald heads because they, you know, were going through chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I really felt that I was speaking to people that had really been through a heroic or heroic journey, and they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what started it. It started from talking to people, and also from my own work as a Jungian analyst and a psychiatrist, and it led to putting it in book form. And then because I do have a great deal of interest in the body, spirit, psyche, soul, holistic way of looking at human experience, I've also added in the book support for doing such things as listening to dreams and visualizations and affirmations and trusting what's called an I-thou sense of things. I mean, if you are treated as if you don't matter by your doctors, it affects the journey that you're on. I mean, you need to get a doctor that's both good at, you know, the specialty that you need, but someone who treats you in an I-thou rather than an I-it. You know, you're more than the breast cancer. You're the person who is going through a potentially transformative experience that could kill you or could be a turning point for the rest of your life in a very good way.
Well, one of the things, because I love stories anyway, and mythology was one of my favorite subjects when, in fact, that was the only thing I think I really understood in my Latin class. I flunked my Latin. I was not good in Latin. But the mythology that went along in the classes, the stories, I just absolutely loved. And you pepper your book throughout with wonderful, wonderful relationships to that. But I wanted to start off with your explanation first, but then to follow up with what you just made a comment on with a quote from your book. You said, a hospital has much in common with an auto body repair shop. It is there with its staff, a specialist to diagnose, fix, or replace what it can of the physical body to get it running again. And it is one where there's a definite line of authority with the doctor in charge and others responsible for carrying out the orders. And a good patient, like a good soldier, is one who cooperates or obeys orders. And I read that and I said, boy, oh boy, I didn't fit that axiom at any time. And a good patient is like a good soldier, as I said, one who obeys orders, especially when cancer, this is what you mentioned there, is the diagnosis, but in many other conditions as well. The doctor's perspective is often similar to a general at war. The disease is the enemy to be fought with the body of the patient, the battleground. And I thought that that was such a poignant description. I have yet, and I have literally talked with, you know, tens of thousands, almost millions of people over the air through many, many years of broadcasting, I have yet, with my counseling or anybody I've talked to on the air, said that when they went into the hospital that they felt like they had entered into a warm environment. And I was introduced to a facility up here in Seattle where they did exactly the opposite. When women were coming in for treatments of cancer, etc., there was a waiting room that they had done, that the colors were wonderful. The staff was trained to be warm, to be friendly, and even the bathrobes that the women had to change into were warm. It was a fascinating shift from the cold, icy, unwelcoming environment that so frequently is in the medical status. Do you, as a physician, see that as a changing factor?
Oh, yes, I do. And it has to do with women who, well, women in such numbers have had to have biopsies, for one thing. I mean, when one out of seven or eight of us in our lifetime will get breast cancer, and so many more will have false positives in need of biopsies and things, this is getting to be a pretty common experience, to be concerned that you might have breast cancer. And in and you know, we do have routine mammograms and all that sort of stuff. And these days, very often, when a woman comes in for a serious biopsy, the woman, there's a guide who takes her through, who's been through the process herself. And that's what's true in my part of the world out here. And also, one of the experiences I drew from in this book, and I also, one of the dedications is to the founder, Angie Thiriot, of the Plane Tree Hospital model, which was one of the very first models of how you could take patients into a major surgical or medical hospital situation and involve them in their treatment and care for their anxiety and their spiritual life, as well as bring good medicine. So this integrative medicine has really changed a lot of our experiences being patients over the last couple of decades. And I also drew on that experience with the first Plane Tree model, which occurred at the medical center in San Francisco, which was at that point right across the street from my office, as part of what I wrote of and part of what influenced what I wanted to share with my readers.
You have used so many wonderful parts of mythology as a form of communication. Of course, the magic of storytelling is always what delivers the message, I think, most effectively and well, rather than lecturing, because people enter into that relationship.
Oh, they do.
Identify with
they
it.
Do. They,
and depending on who the storyteller is, depends on how effective it is, because it has to come from part of you as well. And when you speak, that is something that is very obvious. You come from your heart. You yourself had talked about your father and how he went through quite a struggle. And you were in your late 20s when he died, and you witnessed a lot of this. And you said that he had a particular experience before he passed that made a significant impression upon you. What was that experience?
Well, he had a very bad cancer, and he had a very strong fighting spirit, which meant that he had a lot of procedures done. And when the last one was done, they said, we can't do anymore. And so he was sent home to die. And I might add that I think that people have some inner work sometimes to do, and that sometimes there's a period of time before people die when they dream, when they think, when they review their lives, when they really are doing soul work. So at any rate, he stayed alive far longer than they expected, and because we had nurses, we had a signal system. And one night I was awakened, and went right to his room. And I was called because he was breathing the way people breathe when the end might be near. And so I come into the room, and I see him, and by this time he's lost so much weight, and he had his whole side of one jaw taken out, the bones, and so he really was not in appearance what he used to be. He was frail, and he clearly was on the edge of crossing over or dying. And I looked at him, and then I saw his face literally light up and shift. It was like he was looking at something I couldn't see. And suddenly it's like his whole face was joyful, was radiant, and he saw something at that moment that he died that I didn't see. But that look on his face was absolute, like, testimony to me that at the very end there is something that he wasn't afraid of, that he moved towards, and his face told me the truth of that. And that was a wonderful experience.
We have an experience that we're able to share like that with someone. It really is life transforming. It makes such a big difference in how we view the world. It changes perceptions, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's not that uncommon. It's people who work with hospice and other things that, or just have been present when someone close to them has died, often speak about how it was such a privilege to be present when that person took the last breath, that there was a peace in the room, or there was a look in the face, or there was something that was communicated that was a privilege to be part of. I'm not saying that it happens always, but it certainly happens a lot.
Yes, quite frequently, much more than fortunately we're open and we're talking about it more and more, but in my experience, I am not ever surprised when people tell me these stories, because it is something that's like a gift, a special gift that is given and shared with those that have the capacity and are open and receptive to receiving the gift. It's really quite a special one.
It's very, in many ways, because I am a medical doctor and because I did go through a rotating internship and really loved delivering babies when I was an intern, I can see how similar it is to be privileged at the moment of birth and the moment of death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these are liminal or archetypal times when we are not in ordinary time, or we're in this sort of place between that we recognize at a soul level. I mean, there's perception with our five senses, and there's a perception that comes from heart soul that is different.
Very much so. You use the Greek myth of Eros and Psyche, and I like this so much. And I've always liked the word psyche because it's a Greek word for soul, but I did not know it was also the Greek word for butterfly.
Isn't that fitting?
And I thought, that is absolutely amazing.
It is.
I didn't know
so
that it
fitting.
Had the duality of meaning. And I just thought, this is really great. Talk about the lamp and the knife, because you address something here that is so significant regarding taking care of oneself. And I'd just love for you to speak to that.
Well, in the myth, Psyche has been warned by her sisters and reminded that she doesn't really know who she's married to, that her unseen lover comes to her at night and leaves by morning. And so they raise in her a awareness that she doesn't really know him, and also create a fear in her that it could be that he's a monster. So following their advice, she takes a lamp, hides it, and a knife, waits for her husband, unseen lover, to come to her as usual, and then fall asleep. And after he's asleep, she takes a lamp in one hand and the knife in the other and raises the lamp above his head to see who it is that she is married to. Now, these two symbols are what are symbolic of what we need. When we need consciousness, when we need to have something that we are in the dark about illuminated, then the lamp or the lantern is really an appropriate, very appropriate symbol for being willing to take a good look at the situation. But if you only have a lamp and not a knife, you're not able then to use the metaphoric knife, and one needs both, because a metaphoric knife cuts through things. It's an ability to discern things. It's the capacity, if you happen to see now that you are connected to someone who is bad for you, if you have an addiction that you need to separate yourself from, you have to have the equivalent of the metaphoric knife to use so that you can see the problem, and then if it truly needs to be something that you need to separate yourself from, that you have the mental capacity to use that clarity of the knife symbol and the capacity to act of that knife symbol and change your situation. Now, I'm really at home with myths because I listen to people's dreams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of my work, and it's about the ability to be a person who listens metaphorically, which actually a great many people do naturally. And many people know me mostly from the book called Goddesses in Every Woman, which is followed by Gods in Every Man as archetypes, because that came out in the 80s and has continued to be in print since. And it does what all of these symbols do. If you see the pattern of who you are, you have some clarity that you didn't have before. And each archetypal situation has a positive and a negative side. So if you're able to look at the big picture better than you might if you weren't listening through the lens of a myth. So using in close to the bone the myth of here you are, Persephone, minding your own business, gathering flowers, and then, boom, you're pulled into the underworld, is one entry. The other entry was an even older myth. This was Inanna, a Sumerian goddess.
Oh, yes. That's 5,000 years old, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's probably the oldest whole myth known of Inanna. And a lot of people identify with her because her journey is that she's somebody in the world. After all, in the myth, she's queen of heaven and earth. And so she's used to having control of things and getting experts and doing things right and all that. And so when she hears that her sister goddess is suffering in the underworld, and that's metaphorically that there's something in her own depths, maybe in her body, maybe in her psyche, that she should take a look at because it's causing some suffering. It may be that this is a source of the psychosomatic pains that she needs to go down and look at it, or it may be that this is a source of those nightmares that keep coming and she decides she ought to go look at it. And she thinks, this kind of person thinks, that all I have to do is knock at the door of the expert and have it fixed. See it, have it fixed. And she learns step by step that when you're facing a life-threatening illness, it will take you through gates into the underworld. You will get down into the underworld of your fears, of the fear of death, of where it doesn't matter who you are in the upper world. In the hospital, you're often, usually just a patient. And the humbling experience of it is what many people find is like their journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. You know, you choose a myth when you or the myth chooses you. You hear the myth and you relate it to your life, and it is an aha, and it deepens your own story.
Now, Jane, you yourself, being involved in the medical field, you have developed women's circles for prayer meditation groups, people from all walks of life, all kinds of ethnic, religious backgrounds join. The message you have given through this book, Close to the Bone, is one not just of insight and hope, but to encourage the individual, regardless of where they might be in their life experience. They don't necessarily have to have a life-threatening illness, but they may know someone who is. But it is a journey that encompasses one. And you give them tools to work with, which I think is really, really good. You talk about affirmations. You talk about rituals prior to surgery, which I found interesting to have you mention. But it's just whatever makes that person feel good, in harmony with themselves before they go into the process. You go into all kinds of different descriptions, working with different perspectives and celebrating how to become a crone, which I think is just wonderful, because that is an honorable word. And for those who have not heard the word before, what is a crone?
Well, in ancient times, long before the Greeks, human beings have always had a spiritual nature. I think that's what makes us different than any other species. We have a sense of awe, we worship. 40,000 years ago, human beings were drawing paintings on caves that have a quality of luminosity or awe. And so here we are with this quality that we have, and we face a life that has phases in it. And in ancient times, just as people have always seen that birth comes through women and the female of the species and everything grows out of the earth, so that divinity was seen reflected in the earth and say the moon. And the great goddess then was described as the goddess of the three phases of maiden, mother, and crone. And these represent what could be called the feminine or blood mysteries of initiation, that you're a girl until you begin to menstruate. And then something happens in your body, and you are in this next phase. And then there is the mystery of conception, and a new life grows in you, and the whole delivery that changes you. And then at the end of our reproductive years, we stop menstruating. Now, in many indigenous peoples that are concerned for Earth and value the feminine, this is also an important time. It's a time when we retain blood in our bodies, not to make a baby, as in the second phase, but to make wisdom. And this is called the crone. So the goddess was called Maiden Mother Crone. And the third phase of our lives can be referred to as the crone phase or the wise woman phase. And a lot of people who have cancer enter this phase whenever they are treated for the cancer, because the treatment stops the periods. And mm-hmm. from that point on, they actually are physiologically in the crone phase. And they've also been through this journey that can truly be a turning point of bringing wisdom in. So to be a crone is not just to get older, because lots of people get older and not wiser. It's really to connect with the archetype of wisdom, or the crone archetype.
Well, Jean's book, Bare to the Bone, Close to the Bone.
Close to the Bone.
Close to the Bone. Life-threatening illness is a soul journey. It's more than that. It is something that when you read it, there is, in my mind's view, a link, a connection with something that shows you that you're bigger than what you view yourself to be. And, Jean, I think you have done just a wonderful, wonderful job of being able, even though this is the 10th revised edition, it still holds the warmth, the caring, and the thoughtfulness that you as a physician wish to share with other people, and it comes across very well. And what is the website that someone can go to, Jean, to get more information?
www.jeanbolen.com. It's easy.
Well, that is as simple as it can get. JeanBolan.com. Jean, thank you for being my guest today.
Well, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you would like for me to light up your life with intuitive insight. If you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted you've been able to join our listening family. Here are the telephone numbers you can call into, USA 877-8765-227, that's 877-8765-227, Canadians 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line, 530-876-3222. All you need to do is give me your first name or initial, and then I'll tell you what my perceptions are. I consider myself an information resource, and then you're welcome to ask me a question after I finish telling you what I'm perceiving about anything that you're interested in. Also, for those of you in the Western Washington area, I wanted to remind you that as of April the 19th, yes, we are getting ready to do a class. It's a week from this coming Saturday. I'm going to be talking about mental ecology. We're going to be able to give you the jump start on your own personal vision, work with your intuitive skills, and also do some problem solving. That is going to help you clarify your perspectives, objectives, and your life purpose. It's beauty, style, and greatness from the inside out. Now, the hours for this on Saturday, April the 19th, will be from 10 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon. This is going to be held at a historical building, the Center for Spiritual Living at 206 North J Street in downtown Tacoma. The cost is $89. That will also include a lunch And if you're interested, all you have to do is call 253-383-3151. We're requesting that people call in and make reservations so we know how much food to have available. Again, that's Mental Ecology that I'll be presenting, a four-hour workshop, and that's 253-383-3151, and lunch is going to be provided. So I'm really looking forward to doing this. It is a joy to me whenever I can interact, and it's very interactive. The class is going to be very interactive, so we'll have workbooks. That's all going to be provided, as well as some special gift bags that are being put together and some wonderful opportunities to get some real good information about things that I think can make your life better. Okay, so give me a call here if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or the direct line of 530-876-3222. Money, 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 money. We hear about all kinds of things relating to it, and after I take this caller, we'll talk about money a little bit to see what you can do to provide a nest egg, if that's something you'd like to do for yourself. But let's take this caller first. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Susan, I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. How are you, Donna?
Well, I'm fine, dear. I couldn't hear your name.
Susan?
Susan. Okay, Susan. Well, it's delightful to have you on the air. And what I'm looking at, Susan, with you right off the bat, is you are going to be taking a break. And in taking a break, you're problem solving. And the image I'm getting is of you hiking with maybe a few other people. There's not a whole bunch of individuals here, but you're just walking along and your mind is very occupied. And you are wanting to do this because you're concerned that you're getting so engrossed in whatever issues you're concerned about that you're not able to see the forest for the trees. And so what you're wanting to do is to change your perspective, to change your positioning of, I want to use the word frustration, to one of clarity. And so you're being very practical and you're going to say, I'm going to do something that's a no-brainer, and it looks like the hiking or being out of doors is what's going to do it for you. And you'll find it will be wise when you take this break that you have a pad of paper and a pen handy, so whatever ideas pop into your head, you can write them down and keep them there. You will find that whenever you go through a lot of stress, this is a hard-working year for you, not physically necessarily, but mentally, because you're breaking through barriers. You are really looking at changing paradigms that you've had for a long period. It's as if they don't work for you anymore. And so you're saying to yourself, this is going to change, but I've got to find out how I want it changed. And that makes all the difference in the world. So you are consciously determining how you want to do things and the way you want to do them. And I would say that's pretty, being pretty sophisticated, that not a lot of people know how to do that. And I compliment you. I think that's very good. So being consciously present and aware is going to enable you to shift these paradigms much more readily. And that, I think, once you are at ease with that, it's like a piece of cake. No sweat. What question would you like to ask me today?
Thank you. Actually manifesting money. That would be one of the shifting of the paradigms. How does money look for this month?
Well, your money, what I'm getting with money is that I'm seeing a stability in an amount, and there is someone that you're going to have a conversation with relative to doing some work for them, generating additional income, and I'm seeing it working very nicely for you. I do think that you are going to be putting yourself into a different environment. You are also going to be putting yourself into a different type of a mindset. The money issue is one, it's almost as if you've had to go through a cycle here with money to realize that it is doing really what you most want to do and learning how to work with money incrementally as it comes in. It's something that this is a process, and I think you're just about finished with this cycle. But I believe you're changing your mind on a lot of things, and that may be one of the reasons why you take a break. You know, hiking doesn't cost you anything. It gives you a good workout, but whatever it is here, you are getting to the point where you know you need the break so that you can have clarity in your thinking and not frustration. And that is the difference. That's the difference, and it's evolving.
Well, thank you. This is definitely, I'll be taking this with me in my heart. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great day, Susan.
You too as well, Donna. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. Bye-bye. This is Donna Thiebaud. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Well, isn't it interesting? Before Susan called in, I was going to talk about money a little bit. So often, there will be individuals that sit around and wait for their lottery ticket to come in. And I have to chuckle at this. In fact, one of the things that happens to me, when people find out that I'm involved in the area of psychic skill, they go, have you ever won anything of the lottery? And my husband invariably says, I've been trying for 31 years to get this woman to pick the right numbers, and she hasn't done it yet. And I just laugh. The lottery is not really the way to go. The real secret of independence financially, wealth on a very good level, is being wise and being able to deal with money in a way where it doesn't become an adversary. Money is only a means of exchange. In and of itself, it can't do a thing. You can't eat it. You might be able to wear it in a paper outfit, but with a good rain, it's not worth, you know, anything. And we've all had historically in various cultures, even here in the United States, when money wasn't worth whatever it was printed on. Look at the Civil War. So we give a lot of credit to something that is inanimate. The key is the bartering effect that you can utilize with it. And in our world, fortunately, instead of having to carry a bunch of cows around with us, which is pretty messy, and I don't think you'd like to have to work with a recycle process on that on a daily basis, it's something that when you understand the mechanism of it, it can be a lot easier to work with. And so frequently, the simple aspect of saving is really, really important. Also, how do you compound your money? What are you going to do? There are simple ways of compounding it. There are more what I'd call complex ways of compounding it with stocks and bonds and things like this. Well, there is a financial advisor, Alan Haft. He wrote a book, You Can Never Be Too Rich. And he said there's various things that you can become aware of. He said, follow the rule of 120. If you're unsure what percentage of your portfolio, and I don't know how many of you have a portfolio, you need to ask yourself. A portfolio is what you are doing with your money, stocks, bonds, etc. Do you want to have a whole bunch in stocks? Well, what's your age? He said, simply subtract your age from 120. He said, when you do this, having anywhere from 80 to 90% in stocks lets you take advantage of higher yields while giving you time to ride out any market slides. He said, as for risk, for the rest, he said, put it in safer investments like bonds or fixed interest accounts. And again, it's working out a strategy. We've had friends over the years that have gotten involved in commodities, and there's other people that have done different aspects of investment, whether it's real estate, whatever. You're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. The key is that you must work with whatever is most comfortable for you. You can jumpstart a way to wealth, especially if you're young, by investing. Now, you may want to, through the company you work for, if you are of that opportune positioning, you can put the maximum, the limit that you're able to contribute to your 401k. But if you invest, and if you start this when you're younger, it is really a good thing to do. Even if it's just 2 or 3%, an early start will give you the reward of compound interest. When interest earns interest, money grows faster and faster for you. A 10-year jump start can more than double your bottom line. Now, a Roth, a 401k, well, we'll have some information on that too. So don't go away. We're taking a break. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Siebel on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. One of my favorites for investing is a Roth 401k, primarily because if someone, it doesn't make any difference if you're self-employed or not, but it is a great way. Especially, well, actually any age you can start this. I knew of a woman who in her 60s, she had not done anything with investing. She started a business of her own, and she looked at the fact that being in her 60s, she could easily live in today's world close to 100. And she said, if I do that, you know, I may not want to work as I'm working right now when I reach 80 or 90 years of age. Who knows? But she said, I'm going to start looking at what I can do for myself. And so she talked with someone that was savvy. She went to some classes, and she got involved with the Roth. And she said, when I'm ready to retire, I'll just keep tucking money away on this, and then this is going to work for me. And she designed a portfolio that for her was more secure because she was obviously not in that younger bracket. But a Roth is a very good investment for someone to look at, regardless of age, because if you're younger, you can take smaller amounts and put it in there, and you're not going to be taxed. It's for retirement. You just don't ever take it out. You leave it alone. If you're a mature individual, they now are allowing you to take and put chunks of money into it because they find that so many people that are in their 60s haven't done any preparation at all. So they're giving them this opportunity, and you don't have any taxation on the money when it comes time for you to take it out. So it's really a very good thing to do. And also employers are offering Roth funds for their employees. So this is something that you are really going to find beneficial. If you're young, it's a plus. Middle age, older, doesn't make any difference. It can really work for you. Also, something you can do is if you have an automatic auto escalation, and this is something you can sign up for when you get a Roth, and they'll automatically take like 1% or 2% out additional every year. And that sort of keeps up with the cost of inflation, et cetera. And it's, you know, really going to help you. So if you want a nice nest egg, you can, dependent on your temperament, and you really have to look at what makes you feel comfortable. If you got about 75% of whatever you're saving in stocks and the rest in bonds when you're younger, it is going to really help. If you're working at saving and you're a more mature person, you may want to make it, you know, 45, 50%. I'm not a financial advisor. These are just some tips that I'm sharing with you. But it's good to sit down with someone who is experienced in this area and get some feedback from them. But ultimately, it's up to you. After all, this is going to be your money, and you want to manage it. So what is recommended by some financial experts is that you look at your accounts not once a year, but twice a year. Set out a specific time. And look at how you want to work with it. With some of your stocks, you may find you want to shift to something else. And this is an option that you have. So just be wise. You can work with money regardless of your age. I've seen people in their older years do turnarounds that have just astonished everybody around them. I have seen younger people that when they've taken the initiative ended up being able to retire when they were in their 40s or in their 50s because they had worked so efficiently with their dollars and they weren't necessarily making huge amounts of money. Remember, you can also save costs when you're doing investing. If you choose funds that say index in the name because they're not as actively managed as some other options, and index funds charge far lower fees, yet they still give good returns. So that's just a little bit of information to share with you regarding money. It's something that in our world is very, very important. But you know what? It, again, is not something that is going to buy you love. It is not something that's going to buy you happiness. But if you're a wise custodian of what comes your way, you're going to be comfortable and you're going to find that your life is going to feel a lot freer when economically you are in that position that you really want to be in. And believe me, I've been on both sides of the fence, and I much prefer to have the dollars in the pocket than not. This is Donna Siebel, and I wanted to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Renee Jorgensen, Awakening Afterlife. Suzanne is a philosopher, and he is going to be sharing some of his insights with us. And then Dr. Bernie Dahl. He wants people to get as much out of their life as they possibly can, and he is going to have a lot of good suggestions. He's one of the most energetic, vivacious human beings you'd ever want to talk to. So we've got some great guests this week. Also, next week we're going to be talking about college on Monday and then Joel Freeman on Tuesday. If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. We're going to be talking about transformers. That's T-R-A-N-C-E, formers, shamans of the 21st century. And we're going to be talking about a woman's book of spirit. Also, we're going to be talking with Dr. Petty about healing, meaning, and purpose. Lots of good stuff to share here on the Donna Siebel Show. So delighted that you're able to join me. And be sure and tell your friends about the program, and don't forget about our archives. Those archives are available whenever you want to listen to them right here, bbsradio.com. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever give up your dreams. Don't ever give up your aspirations. Just realize you may find that you will paint them into reality with a different brush than maybe you imagined you would. Just have a great day. Donna Siebel, talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.